that you created us
in
your image and likeness.
And you created faith in us
in the waters of our baptisms. We thank you that you adopted us into your family. And that you made us fearfully and wonderfully. We thank you for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, kids. Appreciate you. We love you. To all parents, I want to tell you, if your kids make noise during this sermon, that is wonderful. To me, because they're alive. They're here with us. This is a hard topic. Okay? And as your pastor, I've got to preach it. I'm not going to preach it every week or every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. What I love about the lectionary is it doesn't let me get hobby horses. Theological hobby horses where I just drill down on stuff over and over again because it's a personal deal. But this is 1 week out of the year we would divert from the lectionary because it's Sanctity of Life Sunday. And it's a tough, tough topic, this one. Because there's differences of opinions within Christians. Some people say that the right to terminate a pregnancy is a right that a woman has. It's her body. No one can tell her. Other Christians say it's a violation of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. I want to say this. First of all, if you've ever had an abortion, terminated a pregnancy, I'm sorry for your loss. And I want you to know that we are all sinners here, including your pastor. No one is better than anyone else because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Without God's grace and mercy in Jesus, we've got nothing. We are spiritually bankrupt as a people. So don't think you're with a group of perfect people. You're not. But because we've received God's grace and mercy in Christ, we extend that same grace and mercy to everyone and hope all of us have experienced the forgiveness that we have in Christ because of what he did for us on the cross. There he died in our place to pay for our sins, to satisfy God's wrath, so that now we would be justified by faith in him alone, not by what we have done or will do or never did. I hope and pray that all of us have been baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that we might know that we're adopted into his family and that we're his child for all eternity. As Lutherans and as Lexia Minuet just read the small catechism, which Martin Luther wrote for parents to teach their small children, which we teach and believe and confess here at Our Savior's, abortion, euthanasia, suicide, and murder are violations of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And it's murder, not kill. I did a 10-page paper in Hebrew. Trust me, it took me hours. So it's murder. In other words, abortion is simple behavior, and I can, as your pastor, who is to guard this flock from false teaching and wrong living, say it's a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy. It may not be criminal, but that doesn't make it right. None of us should judge, though, the motives behind those who have made that decision. We don't know why some people consider anything. We're not to judge them, their motives. Given the same circumstances, guess what? We might do the exact same thing. Desperate situations cause people to act desperately. Remember this, there, but for the grace of God, go all of us. All of us. Only he knows why we decide to do what we do. Only he knows what our motives are. So we're to extend grace, mercy, forgiveness to anyone who has gone through this or is considering it. But children are a gift from God. There are no accidents with God. I hadn't thought about it before the sermon, but in studying for it, I realized the good news is that Christ died for every terminated pregnancy ever committed. He died for the aborted, for the women, and for those performing the abortions. His grace covers it all, and that's a lot. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor, you're a male. You haven't been through any of this. What do you know? You don't even have a right to comment on this. Well, let me just share this with you. Minuet was pretty certain that she couldn't have children. And I was on the golf course one night by myself, which at times I pray, not about where the ball goes, but about other things. Hopefully don't use the name of Jesus except in prayer. I said, Lord, due to our age difference, I really pray that we could have at least one child. Would you do that, Lord? Would you be so kind as to give us one child? He gave us three. It's a good thing we stopped, too. Because it happened rather quickly. And sure enough, a month later, or a few weeks later, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Minuet came in with an EPT, and she says, honey, I'm pregnant. I said, I knew that a month ago. Being the supportive, loving, caring, listening male that I am, I was there for her. 1 o'clock in the morning. So Minuet didn't really have an OB-GYN, so we started shopping around. So we go to this one doctor in a very wealthy area thinking we'd get better care, whatever. And we go there, and she says, because of our age difference, you might want to think about terminating this pregnancy. I was kind of half, I couldn't really figure it out. Minuet was onto her, this female OB-GYN. And we said, man, we're not going to submit ourselves to any of the tests you want to give. It ain't going to happen. Because you know what? We don't care. Whatever our child has, it does not matter to us. We are not terminating this pregnancy. So Minuet needed some medication. The doc wrote a script as we left, and we went to the pharmacy, and I think it was a young pharmacist, wasn't it, honey? A gal just right out of pharmacy school. And she says to my wife, she says, do you know that this medicine causes delivery in the first trimester? We said, no, we didn't. I should have reported the doctor to the medical board. We didn't, but we found another doctor. We have Lexi today. We thank God for her. We have Mackie and Gracie, too. Good thing I didn't move to Utah sooner. I'd have to talk to Josh. I don't know what's going on with Josh. His quiver is full. That's right. My college roommate, Bob Fredericks, who's a very successful lawyer, a lovely guy. Haven't seen him for 20 years. He just invited me to play in his member guest tournament in Fairfax, Virginia next June. If I get my knee done before then, I hope to go. If my wife's good with that. I think she is. But Bob had brother Tom, about 4 years younger. And this was so in 1955. His mother, a practicing Roman Catholic and a devout lady, was told to give up Tom so she could live. Due to her faith, she said, no way. Tom is a highly successful 65-year-old now living in Houston, Texas. So doctors don't know everything. From a personal standpoint, that's all I can say and all I want to say. Because I want to tell you what the Word of God says. That's way more important. I am responsible to teach you the whole counsel of God, not just snippets, not just pieces. So I must address this issue from a biblical perspective on this Sanctity of Life Sunday. I must, as a small catechism quotes Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Clearly, unborn children can't speak up for themselves. And clearly, their rights have been excluded in much of the polemics around this issue. Odds are you may have had an abortion or you know someone close to you who's had one. Did you know that the leading cause of death last year throughout the world was not heart disease, was not cancer, was not accidents, was not war, was not suicide? Leading cause of death was abortion. Worldwide last year, there were 42 million. This compares to a total of 58.6 million deaths from all other causes. So deaths by termination of pregnancy were some 42% of the total. Why is it that, what is it that allows such an accepted attitude towards this action that God is in for? Just read the history of Israel and you'll see when children were sacrificed how angry God was at that. We don't see unborn children, I think, as persons made in the image and likeness of God. We see them as a clump of cells. Yet as I told the kids, Jeremiah 1:5 says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Parents, do you think about that? Your kids, God appointed them for something before they were born. Not just prophets. And David said in Psalm 139, which I talked about, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Have you ever thought that you're wonderful? That he made you wonderfully? And for some of us, our bodies are breaking down, but it's still a wonderful creation, is it not? I've seen the doctor more in the last 2 years than I have my whole life. I know that full well. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." There are no accidents with God. He planned our births. Nothing is unplanned with him. God clearly is involved in our creation. He knew Jeremiah before he formed him. It's a personal knowledge. He knew us before he formed us as well. And we, like Jeremiah and all of us, are fearfully and wonderfully made with purpose and meaning that he has made us for. David also attested God being involved in our creation as well. He doesn't attribute his being to chromosomes coming together. He credits God with knitting him together in his mother's womb and that God's eyes saw his unformed body. Yes, God is involved in our creation. We're made in his likeness and image. And every one of us is important to him. In fact, Isaiah 43:1, God says this, "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." He has summoned us by name. In another verse in Isaiah, he's written our names on the palms of his hands. That's how important we are to him. The book, The Lutheran Difference, says this: "The value of human life has been diminishing ever since Cain murdered Abel. From a worldly perspective, a person's value is connected to his or her perceived worth." Isaiah 43:1 and Matthew 18:10 to 14 describe the value God places on individuals. Matthew 18 says this: "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Those of us who were raised Catholic, did we have guardian angels?
Yes.
Yes, we did. This is the verse. Right? What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. What are we worth in God's eyes? We're more precious to him than we can ever know. We're deeply fallen, but greatly loved. Not only does he call us by name, he's willing to sacrifice his own son to bring us into his family. And because he's kind and merciful, he created faith in us in the waters of our baptism and through his word so that we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We're eternal beings, and God wants to spend eternity with every one of us. And for this, his son died for all of us. Every person, born and unborn, has worth. because they're created in God's image and likeness, and Christ died for all of us. And in dying for us and bringing us to himself in faith, Paul tells us in Romans 8:29, God wants to conform us to the image of his Son. He starts this process when we put on Christ in the waters of our baptism. He restores his image in us that was lost in the garden through the fall. He tells us in Ephesians 4, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God. Get this, in true righteousness and holiness. We renew the spirit of our minds by remembering our baptisms and through word and sacrament. I'm truly glad that none of us are involved in the abortion industry. Unfortunately, though, we can think of ourselves as morally superior because we wouldn't get an abortion or wouldn't be involved in that industry. It's easy to think it's about them and not us. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we could murder someone's reputation by calling them a fool. The Message says it best. You're familiar with the command of the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. Can I get an amen? If it hadn't directed at you, I have. James tells us in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, when talking about our tongues, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. We all fail at this, though, don't we? James doesn't mean cussing, as Elton Sutherland means coming from Alabama. It's not cussing. In our Bible study Wednesday, our name Bible study, Marilyn got it right, I think. Helped me understand it. We curse others when we wish harm to come down upon them, something bad to happen to them. And don't say you haven't when pulling out of the parking lot and somebody cuts you off. We all do it, don't we? James tells us no one can control his tongue. If you're struggling to do so, join the club of saints and sinners. But we can through the Holy Spirit by remembering our baptisms that we're dead to sin and alive unto God through Christ. We can't, but he can. So let us not think that we're free and clear because we've never had an abortion or don't work in that industry. We're all quite capable of murdering someone with our words. Our tongues, our fallen nature, and the devil stand ready to do this 24/7. When we do, may we remember to come back to the cross and receive forgiveness again and again and again. I hope to get the band to sing a song that I've just fallen in love with. It's by We the Kingdom. Due to my Catholic roots, it's entitled Holy Water. The verse goes this way. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of symphony in my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. It's only God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness that is going to help us change and say things that build each other up, not tear each other down. It's the only thing that will stop you from having roast pasta from lunch some of the time when I go too long. It's hard to have the attitude Paul mentions in Philippians 2, where he said, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Ann Kennedy is a Christian who writes a blog on Patheos.com entitled Preventing Grace. I love her perspective. Here's what she had to say in a piece entitled The Poverty of Self-Interest. It was in response to Michelle Williams' acceptance speech at the Golden Globes, where she said her life was carved out by her own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose. Ann Kennedy wrote, I often think, gosh, I wish we had more money. dealing with a broken laptop and a car that needs a new starter means that something else that I probably wanted will have to be put off indefinitely. We have kids to feed, clothe, and educate, not to mention the tiresome number of little jobs that need to be done to the house, all of which cost piddling little amounts of money. Money that we all usually use up on other more pressing matters. And my goodness, we're rich. We have a beautiful house and plenty to eat and thousands of books to read and lovely friends and everything, really, we could hope for. Even so, like the rest of humanity, there's always that little niggling desire for more ease, more stuff, more comfort. Looking in that room full of unhappy women at the Golden Globe Awards ceremony is such a good check, as some say, to my spirit of discontent. Those are the people who have everything they've ever wanted. Michelle Williams stood with a golden statue in her hand, receiving the accolades of her peers, wearing a beautiful, expensive dress, expecting a baby, and yet her face is marked with grief. The faces of her friends are hard, the eyes set, the lines of each mouth fixed, not in happiness, but in something else. What is it? I can guess. I think it's the hardness that inevitably comes when you insist on your own way, when God says, okay, have it. But your way included the death of millions. No thanks. I'll take my riches over yours, Miss Williams. Nothing about your vaunted choices entices me at all. I would rather sit in rags at the doorway of the house of the Lord forever than spend one single day in a room filled with so much death. Michelle Williams admonished the women in the room to vote in their own self-interest. And then the world would look like them. It already does. 2020 is already a hard, cold, cruel year, filled with terrorism abroad and the hideous stench of death at home. If you ask me, which no one has, the only hope for the future would be for women to let the children they conceive come out into the world to finally say that the life of another person is more important than that of the self. And then seek the forgiveness of a God whose property is always to have mercy on those who beg him to give it. Former NFL star Ben Watson has 7 kiddos. And he recently upset a few people by saying, children are not a burden. Ben got it right. In fact, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, say, children are a blessing. The psalmist says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they just don't happen by chance. As long as he holds the world in his hands, I know there's no such thing as unplanned. Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And all God's people said. I'm not afraid to die. confess our faith together by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Are there any other prayer requests that I need to be aware of today? Yeah, Kathy?
My son's family.
Your son's family? Okay.
The 15-year-old tried to get OD.
Okay. 15-year-old. Okay.
Her name's Kenna.
Kenna?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. She needs her prayers. Okay. Is there some there? Oh, yeah.
See. I just wanted to give an update on my great nephew, Preston.
Preston, yeah.
He's back to school half days.
Hey.
And they're still working with the medication, so the seizures for his brain subside.
Wow.
But his activity is very limited still at this point.
Yeah, sure. Great. Well, we still have him on the list.
Yes.
Dave Mansfield was supposed to have surgery Tuesday, but he's going to go see the doctor instead. Terry, you probably already know that, not having the surgery. And Nancy, you tore your meniscus or something, right? And they want to do a replacement. So Nancy and I better not kick each other in the knee. All righty. Any other prayer requests you need to be aware of this morning? Okay. Let's go to our Lord. Father, we come humbly, acknowledging that you are our Lord and our God. We can't thank you enough for bringing us into this world, for forming us, for knitting us in our mother's womb, for making us exactly who you wanted us to be, with the looks that you gave us, with the intelligence that you gave us, with the color that you gave us, with everything, Lord, that you made us exactly who you wanted us to be. And may we remember, help us, Father, to remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you are a wonderful, loving, kind, merciful, and just God. We thank you for not only creating us physically, but creating faith in us spiritually through your word in the waters of our baptism, that we might believe in Jesus. We thank you for eternal life in him and him alone. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we have a number of people. We thank you Preston's making progress. We do pray for Kenna, Lord, as she OD'd. We just pray she get to the bottom of what's going on inside of her and she have somebody she can talk to about all that. We pray for Kathy as she learns of that and her son and their family, Lord. Bless them. Encourage them. For Jim Dio, for Linda Dio, for Kathy's mom and dad as well, for Harry Dillon, for Nancy, for Dave, for Ron, for Dawn, for Helen. You know all these situations, Father. You know exactly what's going on. We ask you to minister in them through your Spirit. You are Jehovah Rapha. We ask you to heal if it be your will. Heal physically, heal spiritually, emotionally, Lord. Whatever way, we know you're good. Lord, in your mercy. Father, for our military families, first responders, firefighters, police, particularly for Sam Harms as he's in Iraq, for Pastor Chip, Lord, would you protect them? Strengthen Jennifer at home and Chip's wife as well. And we just ask you to bless them and keep all these folks safe, Lord, and keep them close to you, Lord, in your mercy. Father, for our politicians, oh Lord, do they need our prayers? We just ask you to bless them. Lord, you encourage us to do that we might live sober and quiet lives and that we might worship freely. And so, Lord, we ask you to give wisdom to all of our political leaders. Give them the wisdom that's from above. Help them to work together. Help them to govern this country for your glory and our good. Help them, Lord, to walk humbly with you, to love mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Father, for our Savior's Lutheran Church, may we always reach up to you in worship, always coming on our face before you, acknowledging that you are God and we are not, and that without you, we've got nothing. And we thank you that you've been so good to us, so kind to this church. We ask you to continue to bless it. Help us always to lift Jesus high, to lift your word and sacrament as well, Lord. that all might be drawn unto him, and that they might come in faith to Christ. Lord, help us to be a place also that reaches into each other, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, building each other up through our words, not tearing each other down, loving each other as you've asked us to love each other through the power of your Spirit. And Lord, help us to reach outward to those in our community who don't know you, who need a helping hand, who need to hear about the love of your love in Christ. Help us to do those three things, Lord, always. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Father, we commit all these things. We trust you with them. We give you all the honor and glory, and all God's people said.
Amen.
This time we'll take our morning offering.